While the 1937 flood was devastating for many, many communities along the river, including Evansville, Henderson actually stayed high and dry, right?
It did. At that time, the city limits were much smaller than they are now. So if the same flood happened today, which of course it wouldn't because of the dams we've put in, but if it happened today, large parts of the city would be underwater.
Right, right.
But at that time, I think Ripley's Believe It or Not actually sent a plane over the city to take a picture that, yeah, Henderson was high and dry. Walter Winchell reported that it was only sizable city along the Ohio that did not have water.
Well, if you go to downtown Henderson, it does sit up rather high off the river, right?
Yes, that's why Henderson was founded there.
And as it turns out, it saved a lot of damage in the 37 flood. Let's go a little farther back in history here. You mentioned that the first dam built by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was built back in 1825. I believe it stretched from the Indiana side over to Henderson Island, correct?
Well, it wasn't a dam the way most people think of a dam. Mm-hmm. Now, most people think of a dam as a slack water dam that, you know, holds back the water. Mm-hmm. This is what was called a wing dam.
Wing dam.
What it did is that it came from the Indiana side and at a 45-degree angle downstream, right about at the foot of Henderson Island. And the idea of building this was to increase the flow of water over a sandbar they had there.
So I guess this helps navigation then for boats, right?
It increased the navigable depth at a minimum of 4 feet, which was pretty good for steamboats.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about steamboats. I understand the first one was built in Kentucky anyway, the first Kentucky steamboat, back in 1814. Is that right?
It was the winter of 1814, 1815. Mm-hmm. The same fellow who built John James Audubon's steam mill in Henderson. Huh. While Audubon was trying to get the Henderson City Fathers to grant him a 99-year lease to build the mill, he was tinkering to put a steam engine on a keelboat that had been built in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And it was successful.
Now, you mentioned John James Audubon's steam mill. Is that the mill there where we now have a park there on?
Yes, that's Audubon Mill Park. And right. The foundations of that mill are still outlined by rocks in the grass there.
And folks might well know Audubon Mill Park, a very popular riverfront park there where various events happen, including the Blues Festival and all that kind of thing. Yes. Well, you're talking about the steamboat age now, and there were at least a couple of steamboat disasters in the Evansville-Henderson area, correct?
There were, and I've only recently become interested in probably the most serious disaster that occurred January 30th, 1866. And that was when the Missouri, which was a big, relatively new boat, it was only about 2 years old, it was apparently racing with another boat called the Dictator. And the boilers exploded.
Wow.
And it just blew out the whole center of the boat.
This happened right around Henderson?
It actually happened closer to Evansville.
Oh, okay.
It occurred just about a mile or so past the entrance of the Green River, and the boat drifted downstream to the foot of Green River, about where your water treatment or sewage treatment plant is. And this was a huge disaster. I mean, they really don't know how many people died. The conservative estimate was 50 or 60. Some people said as many as 70 or 80, maybe even 100. They never did find the passengers manifest, so they don't know how many passengers they had on the boat.
I see. Well, you also mentioned another steamboat accident that happened apparently right there on the Henderson Riverfront in 1884. Is that right?
Yes. That was when the Belmont was capsized by a tornado.
Hmm.
And the interesting thing about that is that 14 people died. but it could have been a heck of a lot worse, because at that time the Belmont was towing a barge that basically carried the train from Evansville to Henderson.
I see.
And this train included, you know, the engine and the coal car and two passenger cars. And there were about 60 people in those cars. So if that tornado had hit that would have created a lot more fatality. Yeah. But fortunately, so to speak, the tornado broke the tow line.
I see. Instead of hitting the actual train area,
the barge and the train drifted to the Kentucky shore, and the Belmont took the brunt.
I see. Well, yeah, all kinds of activity along the river, including disasters like that. Let's talk about some characters from the Henderson Evansville area. Apparently, two brothers from Henderson made it big, as I understand it. One went to Atlanta and became the richest man in Atlanta?
Yes. Amos G. Rhodes. He was a very big deal in Atlanta. He built Atlanta's tallest skyscraper in the late 20s.
Hmm.
He founded, you know, he gave money to foundations and churches and whatnot, founded a chain of furniture stores across the South. The mansion he built on Peachtree Street was for
in Atlanta, yes.
Yeah, in Atlanta, was for 35 years the state archives, and it's now the state historic preservation office.
I see.
But he was very respectable.
Yeah.
Now, his older brother, Moses Rhodes,
yes,
he was not quite so respectable. He stayed in Henderson,
yeah.
And He did a lot of things. He was a contractor. He was a land developer. But he was most famous for promoting prostitution.
Really?
Yes. And in the 1870s, there were very few indictments for prostitution. He first got indicted in 1881,
mm-hmm.
and they continually started increasing. By the end of the 1890s, they were endemic. There was a lot of problems. People were complaining. The public was taking notice.
Yeah. And he, so did he eventually end up in jail, or what happened to him?
He was a smart fella. He had a lot of scams he ran.
Yeah.
See, he would sell property on contract to women. And so that when the bust came down on the brothel, his hands were clean,
so
to speak.
Uh-huh.
But that's not true, because a lot of times the women skipped town and he got his property back.